Thank you, Brother Cooper, Ms. Cooper, for that song. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 10. Brother Randy, as you was talking about our country and the things our country is facing, has faced these past few days, these past few months, you know, I have mixed feelings inside. You know, as an American, it angers me. It troubles me. As a father, it saddens me knowing my kids, the things they'll have to face and see. As a Christian, it excites me knowing that all this must come to pass for our soon coming King. As a preacher, it burdens me knowing that I have a just small, short period of time to get the gospel out. You know, God don't need America to do good for Him to do good. And throughout all the pages of the Bible, every time His children went into captivity, every time they were chastised, there was always a remnant He took care of. And I just want to say this morning, I'm glad I'm a child of the King. 1 Kings, chapter number 10. Verse 1, the Bible says, when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. Then when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and the cupbearers, and his ascent by the which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words till I came. My eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and thy prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loveth Israel forever. Therefore made he the king, thy king, to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones, and there came no more substance of spices of these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Verse number 13. And the King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire, whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his own royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, the blessings to be able to come to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the songs. Father, for your people that came to worship you in spirit and in truth. Father, we ask you this morning for the next few moments that you would speak to our hearts through the word of God. Lord, that you would find a place that we could find a place where you could speak with us. Father, we could see you high and lifted up. And Father, I pray this morning you'd have your way, your will, with those in attendance, those who are watching by the way of internet. You know your needs of your people. Father, you truly are a great and mighty God. And we pray, Father, that everything that's said and done this morning will bring honor and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in your name. Amen. The book of Kings, the book of 1st and 2nd Kings, we know it gives us an account of two nations, Judah, the northern nation, Israel, the northern nation, Judah, the southern nation, and the people in these nations that grow indifferent, and they grow grow cold on God's laws and God's prophets. This indifference, this disobedience of following God's precepts, His ways, His laws, leads them into captivity. First Kings, it begins with the death of King David and the anointing of King Solomon. Solomon, we know, was a great king. He had prayed, he had asked God to give him understanding. He had prayed to ask God to give him wisdom, discernment to judge and discern the hearts of his people. This prayer, it pleased our Savior. It pleased God. And not God not only answered that prayer, and I believe that's a good prayer for you and I this morning. He not only answered that prayer, but he gave Solomon great wealth, great riches, great honor, and great fame. We find this fame in our text. It has spread across the land. It has spread to a place of Sheba. We know it's modern day Yemen. It's a place of great wealth. It was a place of great prosperity. And this queen of Sheba, she hears of the fame of Solomon. Perhaps it was the passing merchant ships. Maybe it was the talk of the land, of the great temple, of how Solomon was increased with wealth and knowledge. God blessed him with longevity of life. We find in our text that she comes, she travels a great distance, approximately 1,500 miles across the desert stands to see this great king. I want to preach on a thought for a few minutes this morning, coming to the king. The first thing in our text we see about this Queen of Sheba is the reason that she comes to see this great and mighty king. Verse number one, the Bible says, concerning the name of the Lord. Her travel, her expense, her expedition, her excursion, I see, was according to, it was in regards to, it was because of one thing, the name of the Lord. This lady, we find this dignitary, this great king, queen, she wanted to know more about Jesus. She wanted to know more about this one that Solomon was serving. We read how his accent, it's the burnt offering as he sacrificed there in the temple, the fame and the majesty and the glory of the temple and of Solomon had went out across the land. And we find her attention, her interest was more than just merely Solomon. Solomon's fame, I believe it drew her interest, but we find the name of the Lord is what she longed for. I notice in verse number one, what piques her curiosity, what causes her, what elevates her interest is that she heard. It says in verse one, when the Queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. This word heard, it's more than just hearing. It's more than just a hearing with your ears. It has the idea to perceive. It's the idea to understand. It's the idea to obey. It's more than just hearing and listening, going in one ear and out the other. It's more than just listening and forgetting, but it's a hearing. It's a perception. It's something that grabs a hold of her soul. It grasps a hold of her, and we find it changes her forever. Rahab, she heard. She was a heathen, a lady that lived on the walls of Jericho, and she has a great encounter of two spies, two Hebrew boys that come, and she has this encounter, and she knew there was something different about them, for she said, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites whom you utterly destroyed." And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Why, Rahab, did your heart melt? Why did you hear? And this hearing, this perception grabs a hold of you. She goes to say, for the Lord your God, he is the God in heaven above and the earth beneath. I want to say this morning, what a grand and glorious day is when we heard the gospel, when we heard that Jesus Christ loved us, when we heard that he died for us, when we heard that he wants to fellowship, he wants to commune with us, when he heard he wants to save us. What a grand and glorious day when we heard the gospel. the Queen of Sheba, she hears the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. But I notice this interest, this curiosity, this spiritual stirring deep inside causes the Queen of Sheba to do something quite unusual. The Bible says in verse number 1, she came to prove him with hard questions. This spiritual stirring, this hearing, this desiring, this drawing inside of her causes her to do what many of you and what I have done numerous times. She wants to evaluate what she heard. Notice she comes to prove him with hard questions. God invites us this morning to prove him. He tells us to prove me in my grace. I'm reminded of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. The Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together. Saith the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, they be as red as crimson, they shall be as wool." He invites you this morning to prove his grace. He invites us to prove his giving. Malachi 3:10, "Bring all thy tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in thy house, to prove me now, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessings that shall not be able room enough for you to receive." We can prove him this morning. She comes to prove him with hard questions. Prove him by his grace. Prove him by giving. And I want to say prove him by his goodness. The Bible says in Psalms 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." The Queen of Sheba, she hears a great word of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She's excited. She's stirred deep inside. She comes to prove him. She hears. She's stirred. And we see, I believe this morning, this picture of the Queen of Sheba is a picture of a sinner coming to a saint. It's a emblem. It's a type of a soul seeking the truth, seeking the only truth that's found in Jesus Christ. See, something, someone, somehow had got the message to this queen that there's one in Jerusalem, there's one over in the land, this King Solomon who has a great and majestic kingdom who is concerning the name of the Lord. Notice verse number 2. The Bible says she came to Jerusalem. She travels this 1,500 miles with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him all that was in her heart. If the Queen of Sheba is a type of a sinner, one that's stirred, seeking God, seeking truth, wanting to know, and needing salvation, we must come to the conclusion that Solomon, our text, must be a type of Christ. We see in verse 2, she comes to meet this king. She's bearing great gifts, gifts of spices. No doubt one of the most common, one of the most well-known, most well-used spice in this day, this era, this time, was the spice myrrh. Was she traveling with this wonderful, precious spice? In all likelihood, I believe she did. She brought these spices. She brought this precious gold and very much of it. She brings precious stones to give to a king. I believe she and her party reminds us of another group that came to meet a king one day. On a holy night, we know those magi, these wise men, bring from a far off country to King Jesus. They bear spices, they bear frankincense, they bear gold, they bear myrrh. And just like the Queen of Sheba, these wise men, when you and I, when we approach deity, we must bring a gift to God. You say, "I have nothing to give." You can give Jesus Christ this morning your worship. That's your obedience. That's your submission. That's your surrender. The sweetest psalm of Israel, he said, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name." When we come to King Jesus, riches, the wealth, Our knowledge, our education will not move him. But if we will bring ourselves, if we will bring our worship and our surrender and our submission, we'll find he's due. Look, the Bible says, notice her offering. She brings these spices. These spices. It's the word sweet fragrances. Spices were the fragrance of the prophets. We find these spices were the prophets' sweetest fragrances that they would carry. And Jesus Christ, being the great prophet of God, he came preaching those Old Testament prophecies about himself. He fulfilled them, setting the prophecies about him going and dying on an old rugged cross. These spices, I want to say, and they emphasize the spices of prophets. But we also see brings gold. It's metal of the kings. It's that precious, most substance of highly regarded value. It's one that's given to those that are only worthy, a king. And we know that Jesus Christ is our soon coming king. But we also find she brings precious stones. Begin to think about the breastplate of the great high priest. In that breastplate, all those precious stones were embroidered and they were embedded in that breastplate. And we find, just as the Queen of Sheba comes, she's showing that Solomon is more than just a king. He's a prophet. He's a priest. And we see in that, when we come to Christ, our prophet, our priest, our king, we come as she's to commune with him all that was in her heart. Jesus Christ is our prophet. He is our soon coming king. And he is our great high priest. The Bible tells us, for such a high priest became us. That's Jesus, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. This high priest, it says in Hebrews, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points tempted like we were, without sin. But notice her excitement. She comes from a great far country. She's heard, she's stirred, she brings gifts, all she has. But look at the exchange. She brings everything to him, and this king meets all of her needs. He didn't shame her. He had all this substance. He had all the riches. He had all the wealth. He didn't cast her away. He doesn't reject her. But the Bible says there was not anything that he hid from her. What a beautiful picture of a soul coming to Christ. Coming to Jesus and telling him all that's in our heart. It'll change you, I promise you. It changed Sheba. It changed this queen. I'll say it changed the woman at the well. She left that day. She said, come and see a man which told me all the things that I ever did. Is this not the Christ? I guess what I'm trying to say is, no matter what we have, if we'll bring it to Jesus, our sin, your sorrow, your substance, he will deal with it all. It's an exchange, a beautiful exchange between a sinner and a Savior. He'll forgive your sins. He'll calm your fears. He'll meet your needs. He'll answer your questions. He'll shore your doubts. He'll strengthen our weakness, just if we'll just bring it to Christ. As a 25-year-old young man, I had nothing to give. Lost in my sins and my shame and depravity, I came to Jesus, a sinner needing a Savior, just a beggar seeking a king. And what did he do? I traded my riches for the rags of my soul. I gave him the pieces, and he made me whole. I brought to him nothing, but he gave me everything. He found this old beggar, but I found a king. This Queen of Sheba, she heard of his fame. She comes and concerning the name of the Lord, that's that great excitement, that's that stirring, that's that moving within. She travels from a far distance. She brings her spices, her gold, all she has. That's her expedition. We find she gives this king everything. What a beautiful exchange of what she had for what King Solomon has. But notice she's ecstatic in this text. Notice this ecstatic emotion she feels in verse number 4. The Bible says, and when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendants of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She sees the glory of this great king. She sees his majesty and all of his riches and his wealth and his wisdom. And the Bible says there was no more spirit in her. She's overwhelmed. She's overcome. She's elated by the greatness of this wonderful king. The word spirit in our text is the word for breath. The word for air. What it's telling us is when she sees this king in all of his royalty, her very breath was taken away from her. The breath was knocked out of her. And we find she was elated. Just a question this morning. Does his goodness, does his glory, does his grandeur of his salvation, of what he did for you on the cross, does it still take your breath away? We find she's elated. She's ecstatic. She's excited. And we find that our problem, I believe, is just like the Laodicean church. God's blessed us and God's been good to us and God's protected us and God's provided for us. God saved us. But just like that Laodicean church, we say that we're rich and we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. We act as if we're entitled. We act as if we deserve the favor and the blessings of God. May we, like the Queen of Sheba, get our eyes off stuff and start focusing on the Savior. May we get our eyes off of earthly treasures and focus on this King. She stands in the presence of the greatest King this world had ever known. Greatest in wealth, greatest in knowledge, greatest in fame, and her breath is taking away. I believe we're a little like that church in Revelation chapter 2, that church of Ephesus. God tells that church to remember, to repent, and to return to your first love. Our problem is when we see Christ as who he is, high and lifted up, our breath is not taking away. What about a glorious king? What about a grand king, a great king full of grace and truth and majesty, yet he still looks our way? I'm reminded of that song. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner redeemed, condemned, unclean. How wonderful, how marvelous will my song ever be? How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me? Does it still take your breath away? We find this Queen of Sheba. She sees all of his riches. She sees his wonder ways. She sees all of his glory. She's elated. There's no more spirit in her. She's traveled a great distance. She's been excited. She's had a great exchange. But notice in verse number 6, her evaluation, the conclusion she comes to in verse 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report. What she's saying is, King, what I've heard about you in the land, what I've heard about you, your riches, your wealth, all your fame, she's saying it's true, it's true. I find no fault. Matter of fact, she goes on to say, the half has not been told. But notice what she said is true in our text. She says in verse number 6, "It was true report that I heard of my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom." These acts and this wisdom of Solomon is his very essence. It's who he is. The acts is what we do. That's what we do. This wisdom is who he is. We find this very same thing about Jesus Christ. His acts. He's done mighty and great things. We find he is who he said he is. And we find he is who he said himself to be. And he's so much more. We find this evaluation, her conclusion. She comes. She's seeking truth. She's needing a Savior. She's a sinner coming to a Savior. And notice what she does. She agrees. She agrees of what Solomon says. I'll remind you, that's what we did when we came to Christ. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess, it means to say the same thing. When we come to Christ, all we are doing is agreeing with him. We're agreeing with him of our state. We're agreeing with him of our sins. We're agreeing with him of our ways. And she's agreeing with him. She's saying it's true, it's true, it's true. She agrees with him. Perhaps Jesus has spoke to you this morning about salvation. All you have to do is agree with him. Maybe he spoke to you about a service, letting go and doing and working for him. All you have to do is agree with him. Maybe he spoke to you about sanctification, letting go of that sin, that thing that so easily besets you. All you have to do this morning is to agree with him. She agrees with him. She says it's true. She says, I've heard in my own land thy acts and of thy wisdom. She has a great encounter. She comes to this great king. She says, King, it's true. It's true. I find no fault in you. You're high. You're exalted. You're holy. You're elevated. We see her excitement. We see her expedition. We see this exchange. We see this great evaluation. And it changes her forever. But here's my message. Luke chapter 11, verse 31. That was introduction to a short message. Luke chapter 11, verse number 31. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking to the scribes, the unbelievers of that day. He's performed great works, mighty works in their midst. They have heard. They have came, they have saw, they're looking at Christ, they can see Christ. He's speaking to them in Luke chapter 11, verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. Pastor, if we take the Bible literally, which I do, somewhere, some point in time, this Queen of Sheba, she's going to rise up. She's going to testify against this crowd, these Pharisees, these unbelievers, these workers of iniquity. She's going to say, I heard, I came, I seen, I saw, I believed. She's going to testify to them saying, you have Jesus Christ in front of you, yet you've rejected him. For she came from the utmost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He makes the statement, although Solomon was the greatest king of this earth ever knew, in wealth and majesty and wisdom and in knowledge, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Wait a minute, Jesus. Solomon was a king's son, born in a palace. And Jesus, you're a carpenter's son, born in a barn. Solomon came from a great city of Jerusalem, the city of God. And Jesus, you came from a small, obscure village in Nazareth. Solomon had thousands of servants and ministers. And Jesus, you have a few fisherman. Solomon wore kingly robes. And Jesus, you're dressed in mere peasant's garments. Solomon drank vessels of gold. And Jesus, you asked drink from a Samaritan harlot. Solomon, he built great cities and great temples for God. And Jesus, you build nothing more than chairs and plowshares in a carpenter shop. Solomon, he lived in great mansions. And Jesus, you said the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Solomon wrote great majestic stallions. And Jesus, you rode a mere donkey. Solomon, he had great wealth untold. And Jesus, you were penniless. Solomon, he dined with kings and queens and dignitaries. And Jesus, it said that you dine with publicans and sinners. Yet, behold, a greater than Solomon is here. You say, why or how is he greater than Solomon? I see that Solomon, he was just a mere man with an earthly kingdom. But Jesus was not only man, he was more so. Jesus was so much man, he came thirsty from his travels and had to sit on a well. But he was so much God, he gave that Samaritan woman a drink that thirst satisfied her thirst forever. He was so much man, he wept with tears at the tomb of Lazarus. But he was so much God, by the power of his voice, he resurrected Lazarus. He was so much man that he fell asleep on a boat one day. But he was so much God, he stilled the winds and the seas at his command. He was so much man that he had to walk up the side of a mountain. But he was so much God, his inward deity overcame his outward humanity. And there he was glorified in all array. He was so much man that he hung and he bled and he died on a cross. But he was so much God, on the third point day, he arose victorious. He was so much man that he knew what it was like to be despised and rejected of men. But he's so much God, the next time they see him, he'll be riding a white horse called Faithful and True, and on his vesture and on his thigh, it'll be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. She comes to this one who's great and majestic. She has an exchange. She gives all she has. Solomon does not turn her away, yet he tells her everything. Hides nothing from her. Blesses her beyond measure. But yet, there's a greater than Solomon is here. Back to our text in verse 13. In 1 Kings chapter 10. The Bible says, and the king Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her desire. Whatsoever she asked, beside that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. Based on this verse 13, we find that no matter what the Queen of Sheba gave Solomon, he gave her a whole lot more. This morning, you can give your life, your family, your substance, you're all to Christ, and I can assure you, he'll give you so, so much more. Behold, a greater Solomon is here. Father, we want to thank you this morning for the message. Thank you, Father, for the word of God, the truth it beholds. Father, I want to thank you one day that I came to this one that's greater than Solomon. Father, that I came and exchanged my sins for your righteousness. I exchanged my ways for your righteousness. And I'm thankful, God, I can testify and say you've gave me so much more. I bless your name, Father. I pray you'd speak the hearts and the minds of those who are here in attendance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'll stand this morning. I'm going to ask the kids if you'll come and sing, play something on the piano. Maybe you're here this morning. God spoke to you. Just come to this king, this one that's greater than Solomon, Jesus Christ. Do as Queen of Sheba. Tell him your heart. Tell him all. Prove him with hard questions. And I think you'll find he's faithful and true. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar is open.